today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Sacramento's dominant airline, Southwest, is making some big changes to their business model, and a major wildfire damages the popular Canadian Rockies town of Jasper. Those stories and more next in the news.
In our Smarter Travelers segment at 11:25, we have tips for picking the right hotel with the right amenities at the right price for your next trip to Las Vegas.
Speaking of Las Vegas, years ago we told you about a new attraction there called Dig This. Fast forward a decade and our buddy Ed is still digging holes in the desert. Learn more about this unique attraction for kids of all ages at 11:35.
Getting off an airplane in an emergency is something you hope you'll never experience firsthand. Well, at 11:50, we talk with Ned Levy of Travelers United about his personal experience on an airplane evacuation. It's a wake-up call, my friends.
Here to share ways to make your travels easier and more rewarding, we are the Travel Guys.
Yes, sir. It's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. So much to cover, so little time. Thanks for joining us. Let's get to it. Mark, it's been a week. I saw you last. You were getting ready to head off to Puget Sound with a bunch of Sports Leisure Vacationers. Tell us about it.
We had a great time. I want to just share a few. First of all, the weather was like 70 to 75 degrees while you guys were down here being baked over. We thought the weather was so good, we brought some of it home with us. So that you all can enjoy it for the next couple of days before it wastes away. If you've never traveled, of course, you can fly to Seattle. There are three major airlines, Southwest, Delta, and Alaska, who all fly to Seattle. So there's about a dozen times a day that you can get to Seattle. And so fares are cheap. The Sound is just across the water from Seattle. And you can go there by ferry. You can rent a car and drive around. There are really not airports on Puget Sound. So Seattle has to be your destination. But we stayed at a place called the Clearwater Resort, which is a Suquamish resort near the town of Bainbridge on the Sound. And for four nights, they have resort accommodations, which is a slightly older but really nice building. Many of the rooms have balconies, and it's a smaller building. And then there's a big casino hotel, but it's a little ways away. If you didn't know there was a casino there, you wouldn't know there was a casino there, which is exactly my kind of casino hotel, because then I have all the amenities of the casino, and I don't have to be bothered by traffic and distractions and things like that. We took our folks to Olympic National Park, to Hurricane Ridge, on a day when the views there are like 360 degrees. You can see Victoria, an entire mountain range, and we were lucky and got to do that. We went to little towns like Port Gamble and had a special dinner and a ghost tour in their museum. You can visit the museum on your own. We went to Squim, which is home of many lavender farms. And did I mention the weather was perfect? The weather was perfect.
Yeah.
The weather was perfect. We noticed that more than once, practically every day, all the time. We all said, you know, we felt for... A lot of people were texting home to their friends saying, what's the temperature in Sacramento? Anyways, we had a great time. And if you go up there to the Seattle area and you don't spend some time on Puget Sound, shame on you. It's a whole different place with a whole different feel. You won't be the only person there. There's a little traffic over there these days. But still, if you go in the middle of the week and you avoid weekends, there's a couple of nice new hotels, the one we stay at. There's another one called Seven Cedars, which is another Native American resort. And just wonderful little towns and little shops and things. You can be separated from your money so easily, you'll never know what happened. Poulsbo is another great little Norwegian town. Oh, my goodness. Sly's Bakery there. Oh, God, you'll be big as a house. Anyway, that's what we did.
Wow. I'll tell you, well, you mentioned this before you left, and I started thinking, man, this would be a great getaway for the wife and I. And you know, I think we're going to do it. We won't necessarily go with the wonderful people with Sports Leisure, but we'll do what some people, this tip, my friends, pay attention to where they go and how they go about it and where they stay and the places they go. And then if you can't go with them, just steal that information and go on your own.
Hey, before we get into the news here, I want to just say this has nothing to do with travel. Last night I went to the Music Circus and saw Sunset Boulevard. And I continue to be amazed by the quality of the productions they do at Music Circus. The choreography, and you know, theater in the round, that's a whole different deal. Sunset Boulevard was done on Broadway and with a national touring company on big stages where they had lots of room to spread out and do things. You don't have that in the round. And you have entryways, and you have to figure out ways to expand your stage with video screens and stuff. Those people at Music Circus are just genius. We are so lucky to have something like that. You know, that sort of production theater has basically gone away in this country. It used to be very popular, and now I think it exists in two places, and one of them is here in Sacramento. If you've never been to a Music Circus production, pick one out and go sometime. It is intimate. It is not as expensive as sitting in a regular theater, and it just has a wonderful feeling. The audiences are terrific every time. You go to New York City and you talk to theater people, they know about Music Circus in Sacramento. They know about the quality of the productions, and they know about the audiences, and because it's been going on a long time. Anyway, I don't want to get carried away here and take the whole show, but congratulations to Scott and all the people at Music Circus. You know, Richard Lewis had a long run there, and Richard has left now and retired, and the people who have replaced him have just stepped right in and ramped it right up, and it's, if anything, it's just getting better. So if you haven't checked out Music Circus, it's a Sacramento institution, and you owe yourself the opportunity to do that.
We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. In the first few minutes, we've covered both for you, and now let's move on. At the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with today's edition, once again, here's Mark. Mark?
Yeah, if the co-host doesn't babble on about things not really related to the program here. All right, here's something cool. A Colorado hotel in Colorado Springs, the Hotel Polaris, which is opening this fall at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, will be the first hotel to boast flight simulators. Two will be configured to allow guests to fly an F-16 virtually, and one will simulate the cockpit of a Boeing 737 MAX. I don't know about you, but that's a reason to stay at that hotel.
I would love to do both.
The Hotel Polaris opens this fall at the U.S. Air Force Academy. I'm sorry, I didn't put a link at the Travel Guys for that, so you'll have to look it up yourself. Hotel Polaris, Colorado Springs, flight simulators. If you have a potential pilot, young or old, in your family, why, there might be, that might be for you. Hey, here's another survey. This is the second one we've seen in 2 months about solo female travelers saying that they're growing in number. This one says that most of them prefer domestic destinations, which they include Canada in that. And overwhelmingly, female travelers are saying that one of the high things on their list is trips that focus on wellness. Make a note, staff at Sports Leisure Vacations, because we have a lot of solo female travelers. How interesting. Cannabis tourism is taking off as legalization spreads. More states legalize the use of cannabis. Destinations like Las Vegas, Boston, Detroit, and San Francisco are attracting tourists with specialized tours. In Colorado, the first state to legalize, Denver says that they can attribute a 4.7% jump in hotel occupancy over the last 8 years to the fact that cannabis is legal in Colorado. How interesting that, you know, sin is popular. Listen, a lot of people come to the wine country to drink wine, and they spend a lot of money on hotels and airfares and rental cars and restaurants and things like that. There's no reason to believe that people who smoke weed would be any different. So there you go. There's a lot of money there. Hey, listen, here's something to check out. There is a link to this online. Sacramento Favorites, the Sacramento Bee, is doing their annual ranking of local everything from restaurants, health and beauty, home and garden, things to do. The River Train sent out a notice and said, hey, go here and vote for us, would you please? And when I went there, I saw all these different categories. So if you regularly do business in Sacramento around our city, there's an opportunity for you to vote for your favorites. I mentioned at the top of the headlines there that they have a serious wildfire in Canada. It is raging right now in Alberta. It went through the town of Jasper a couple of days ago. If you've traveled through the Canadian Rockies, you know the area around Jasper is arguably the most beautiful in the Rockies. A pretty long-standing hotel there, the Maligne Lake Lodge, It's one that my company has used before. A family-owned hotel was reduced to ruins. The big lodge, the Jasper Park Lodge, basically is remaining standing and intact, just a few outbuildings. About 20% of the buildings in the town were destroyed, including a couple of other small hotels. There's a long list here. A lot of damage to employee housing, people who work in the resorts and stuff like that. So the resort may be fine, but if there's no place for the people to stay who work there, then that's going to be a problem. So if you have a trip to the Canadian Rockies, my company doesn't have one this summer. Ironically, just signed a contract to stay in Jasper next summer. If you're planning to go to the Canadian Rockies sometime in the next 6 to 8 weeks, particularly if your itinerary includes Jasper, you need to do your homework and make sure that your hotel is still standing and that the things you want to do are still there, because it's entirely possible that some small businesses may be displaced or closed, particularly since we're now kind of sort of getting to the back half of the summer. My heart goes out to the people in Jasper. It's such an incredibly beautiful area. But wildfires, the planet is warming up. I'm sorry for those of you who say that's not true. I'm sorry, but it's just a fact. It's just a fact. It's warmer. You can argue about why it's warmer, but it's warmer, and things are changing, and some of these things are really destructive to places that are really beautiful, like Jasper. So I just, how heartbreaking that is. It's just, the pictures are just horrible. They had this wall of fire that changed directions and just came right into the town, and there wasn't anything they could do about it. Just awful. Okay, anyway, let's spend a few minutes here on something a little more positive. Southwest Airlines this past week announced that they're going to make some serious changes in the positive. Way they do business. Well,
positive.
I think so.
It's going to cost us. May cost us a little bit more, but it's not burning down. So
well, no, it isn't. And they didn't sell the airplanes. I had a flight attendant coming home from Seattle the other day. Remember how the flight attendants used to do? They almost had routines that they did, jokes and one-liners and stuff like that. Some of them a little marginal sometimes, which even made it funnier. We had one of those guys Thursday. Hadn't had one for a long time. And he was cracking jokes, and like I said, some of them were hysterical, some of them not so much. But it changes the whole attitude on an airplane when you do that, especially when everybody's crammed into this metal tube and there aren't any empty seats. Anyway, Southwest is making some changes. They're getting rid of the festival seating. You're going to have the opportunity when you – this is coming. It'll be a couple months before it shows up. You're going to have the opportunity when you buy a ticket to select your seat. Of course, that's going to cost you money, just like it does on other airlines. You will still be able to buy a ticket that doesn't select a seat, which will automatically now mean that you're in the back 6-8 rows of the aircraft, because they're going to sell all the rest of it, just like everybody else does. Yes, sir.
So the seats that they're going to sell will just be the ones that are premium towards the front, and will the back half of the plane be here again unassigned?
That's what they're saying so far, is that there'll be some portion of the plane that will be unassigned. So hypothetically, you'll still be able to do exactly what you do now. It's just that you won't be able to hustle your way into the middle of the B group and still maybe snare a window or an aisle towards the back. You're going to be cattle card into, you know, if there's 48 seats back there in the last 8 rows, there's going to be 48 people who don't have an assigned seat. So you're all going to be in that area. I'm sure what they're going to do is the seats in the front and the exit rows and stuff, just like the other carriers, are going to cost more. They don't have a first class section. There was no comment about what they're going to do. They are going to create an extra legroom section. They say they're not going to take anything away from the other seat legroom, because the planes are going to have thinner seats, and that's going to help them pick up a lot of space. And so they will still have an inch more legroom than the other carrier, than any other carrier in the sky, and several inches more than some. So it's, no, all is not lost here. They say that 80% of the people who fly with them, or who would fly with them, which is a really important category to consider, because Southwest fares are often a little cheaper and they have the free baggage thing, would fly with them more often if they could get an assigned seat, and that they're willing to pay for it.
How is the thinner seats working for you?
I don't notice any difference. I don't sleep well on airplanes. I take an airplane pillow and You know, take a Tylenol before a long flight or something like that and try to sack out. But it doesn't. I'm not a good sleeper on airplanes. I try. Sometimes I can get an hour or something like that uninterrupted with earplugs and all that jazz. So to me, the seat doesn't make that. If you're not in first class, the seat doesn't make that much difference, really and truly. I'd rather not be packed between two larger people in a middle seat if I can avoid that. But other than that, it's all pretty much the same. But anyways, you'll be able to get extra legroom. You'll be able to get an assigned seat. Here's another thing that's going to go away. We have talked a lot on this program about the miracle cures that often accompany Southwest flights, where people get on in a wheelchair and miraculously at the end of the flight are able to walk off. 15 board by wheelchair, but on the other end, only 4 need a wheelchair to get off the plane. The other 11 go running up the jetway.
What are they going to do about that?
Well, those people who now get on the aircraft, and listen, I travel with a lot of mature travelers. There are people who, honest to God, need a little extra time, have a little bit of trouble walking, perhaps need a wheelchair to get through something like an airport. That's legit. There are a few of those people on every flight, and God bless them, but therefore the grace of God go I. But there are people who take advantage of the Southwest system. You know, grandma needs extra time boarding, so the whole family would board with grandma. Then the Southwest start eliminating to one person boarding with grandma. So grandma sits in a middle seat, and the person boarding with her sits in a middle seat, and they save a whole row. And, you know, I mean, they're working the system. So there'll be no more working the system because the people who are disabled or need extra time or boarding ahead of time, they're going to have assigned seats on the plane or they're going to be in the back. So they're not going to hog those seats in the front. They're going to sell those seats in the front for people who are willing to pay more money for them. And this will maybe help Southwest. They say the free bags will continue, and they're really adamant about that. So hopefully that's what will happen. We will see. Also, Southwest has announced that they're going to start flying red eyes. Their computer system for many years didn't allow it. Their flight attendant contracts didn't allow it. The contracts now do. The system now does. And so the first, they're already selling tickets on the first 5 west to east, which is generally what red eyes are, that are going to start operating, I believe, after the first of the year. I suspect us being in the west in Sacramento, we will see some red eyes to some destinations on the east coast that we don't have service to. The plane will come in the evening and it will go back as a red eye, just like it currently does for Miami and Newark and a bunch of other destinations that we are lucky enough to have some service to. My goodness, avoid the Seattle airport if you can for the rest of the summer. That place is just an absolute circus. One last thing quickly here. If you're a vegan or a vegetarian, there is a new app that helps you find places that will accommodate you, everything from accommodations to restaurants. Go to travelguysradio.com. There is a link there for you, and that's the extended travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Find us at travelguysradio.com. Well, the month of July is quickly headed towards an end, and we mentioned at the beginning that Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House has extended their prime rib and scampi special for $29.95 to the end of July. So once again, you got a little bit of time to take advantage of that. You'll love their scampi. Their prime rib is supreme, but I'll swear by the scampi. And of course, the Travel Guy special, which is a 6-ounce lobster tail meal, is also $29.95, and that's good anytime. So take advantage of it and just take advantage of the great hospitality and all that Rudy's Hideaway has to offer. Mark and I are big fans, and I think you will be too if you haven't ever tried it. Once again, that's Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House just off Highway 50 at Hazel. So there you go. So, Mark, Smarter Traveler segment, what do you got?
Hotels in Las Vegas, and actually this will apply. Most of these rules apply to hotels just about any place. First thing when you're getting ready to book a hotel you want to do is look at the calendar. A couple of things are important here. First, days of the week. Sunday is the slowest day for most hotels, unless it's the middle of a holiday weekend. So if you arrive on a Sunday, oftentimes you will find the best rates. If it's a popular weekend hotel, Fridays and Saturdays will be the highest rates. If it's a popular business hotel, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday will be the highest rates. So Sunday tends to get left off. So that's a good night to pick up a better rate. Of course, in Las Vegas, in the summer, rates can be a little bit on the cool side, especially if you avoid those weekends. In the winter, when it becomes a popular destination, then even the midweek rates are more popular. So that's days of the week. Now you look at the calendar for special events. When the NASCAR race is in Las Vegas, the 3 days before, the during the race, and the after are going to be ridiculously priced. But the week before and the week after, you have a little flexibility. You may be able to score a terrific rate. If a city is having a major convention, which they often refer to as a citywide, then you have to be careful, because that's going to mean higher rates in lots of hotels. If you're a foodie in Las Vegas, do your pre-booking homework. Many casino hotels are famous for their cuisine, and that may play a role in your decision. And finally, pick a good location. If you have places you can walk to, you may not need a rental car. Henceforth, no parking. Remember, resort fees play a big role in hotel rates in Las Vegas.
Hey there, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along. And as we promised, we're bringing back a guest that joined us on one of our very first radio shows, all the way from Las Vegas. Ed Mum has a little project called Dig This. It ranked number one by TripAdvisor, Certificate of Excellence Hall of Fame 22 and 23, People's Choice in 2023. A very, very unique thing. A lot of people go to Vegas, they do a lot of things, but how many of them do this, Mark?
I don't know. I have never done it, I confess, but digging a hole in the ground, or there are a variety of other things. Ed, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Oh, it's always good to be on your show, guys, and looking forward to catching up here.
Hey, it's nice. I just kind of ran across your operation again online. I don't know. I was digging something up. And ran across it, and I thought, geez, I know that guy. And I thought, well, he's probably moved on and sold this to somebody else and stuff. And I dug a little bit deeper in it, and so I knew you were still around. So anyways, it's nice to reconnect again. Obviously, it's been over a decade since we talked. You have made it with this rather unique attraction in Las Vegas. How are things going? And explain to folks a little bit what it is that Dig This is about.
Your other comment, you know, things do get better with age. So I'm feeling pretty good about everything where we're at. We are still having a great time, as are our customers that are coming here to experience the thrill of operating heavy equipment in a very cool and safe, you know, 5-acre sandbox. We certainly try to keep things flowing and add more excitement, more activities to what we do. And, you know, and the word is still unique. A lot of people are still discovering us because there's not many of us around doing this type of attraction. And so, you know, Vegas, of course, attracts 60 million plus people a year. And so we've got a very good captive audience here. And so we get more and more companies bringing their people out. We're having a good time.
Ed, I noticed that you've kind of going with the flow with all the heat that people have had this year. And, of course, Vegas is always hot. One of the things that you're promoting is that when you go to the Dig This and you get in one of those large heavy equipment operating devices, that you have air-conditioned cabs, which really, I think that's really going to chime in well with folks these days. And also, you've got stuff for kids, too. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You've got to take care of the customers while they're out here, especially when, you know, it's 110 to 115 outside. So, you know, we hit our record here, hit 120 here last week, which was crazy heat. But the good news is, yes, we do have relief through the AC units and our equipment, and especially for our spectators, we've got cooling stations and everything as well. So we try to keep this as a year-round location so we can cater to all elements. We cater to a lot of birthday parties here. It's something very new and different that people can experience, and especially the little kids. The digs there, we've got real one-ton excavators there. They get to run the machines. It's the same control stations as the larger equipment. So they're in the real deal. And kids from 2 and older, with the assistance of their parents, can jump on those machines and start tearing up the place.
Dare I think that there are some kids around the planet who have been to dig this when they were, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old. This will probably rank as one of their all-time memories ever. We're talking with Ed Mumm, who is the proprietor at Dig This, a great attraction in Las Vegas. Ed, give our listeners an idea of what the cost. I see online you have a really wide range of not only of playground, what you call it, a giant sandbox. I love that equipment, but a wide range of prices. Give folks an idea of what the top and the bottom of the price range might be for if they were to come see you at Dig This.
Yeah, look, we really try to make this attraction available to everybody. You know, we understand everybody's on a different budget. So we try to price it where we can get somebody on some piece of equipment. So, our pricing starts around $27 for the kids' dig. And by the way, adults can do that as well. They can operate those machines, as I said, same operating stations. Just a smaller, shorter experience. They're about 15-minute rounds, and that's ideal for kids that are in that 2 to 5 year old range. That's their tolerance level, and we can add more time on if they want to keep going. And then we get up into the what we call our prize fighters. It's the smaller of the large equipment, like skid steer loaders and our 5.5-ton excavators. You know, those are priced between about $190 to $220, and you actually get just under an hour of operating time under the supervision of an instructor. It's three really cool activities. And then as you progress to that age level, and those are for 8 years and older, and then our next tier is like 12 and older, where you can get on actually really large excavators, and those are around $300, and then for 1 hour of operating time. So obviously the larger the equipment, you know, the more expensive it is.
Just imagine if you were a kid and you were 12 years old and your parents went to Las Vegas and they took you out to dig this, and you could climb into one of these excavators or something like that. I mean, wouldn't that be like one of the most incredible things that you'd ever done in your whole life?
Well, you know, I grew up on a farm, orchards mostly. We had Caterpillar tractors and Fords, and I when I was 12, I would drive those. So to go to it and being able to operate heavy equipment that I see them on the side of the road, and I go, man, I'd really love to get behind the wheel of one of those.
In Vegas, you know, money can, it's kind of like water, and it can flow to you or flow away from you. Why not have something that at the end of the day, you know, maybe it didn't go well at the tables, but you've at least got something to talk to your friends about. And my goodness, if you took your family, or, you know, what if it was a grandpa, grandkid sort of thing? Mm-hmm. I mean, I can just see that. And my guess is that it's probably not all just the boys. That would that be correct, Ed? That, you know, every once in a while a young lady climbs into the cab?
A lot of people don't realize this, but 50% of our clients are women. So, there you go. It's an equal spread, for sure.
Talking with Ed Mumm, who is the man who runs Dig This, which is literally, the name tells you what it is. If you go to Las Vegas, you can go out and get in a big piece of equipment and just play around in Ed's sandbox for a period of time. It sounds like a tremendous amount of fun. Ed, let me just ask you, it's been a while since we've talked. Give us a story. What's an unusual thing or something that happened, you know, somebody took a piece of equipment and ran across the freeway with it one day or something like that. Have you had anything that really sticks out in your memory as something that was unexpected?
No, look, there is one thing I'll mention, but let me just tell you and your listeners, we've never had an accident to a customer or an employee in the 20 years we've been operating. So
wow.
We're a very safe activity and attraction, and that kind of stuff, people can't get away on us. We've got a lot of controls in place where we can prevent a lot of that stuff. But I will say, I think when I was on your show last, we just brought in an activity called the aggression session. It's where you get to crush a car with a large excavator.
And oh, boy.
So, realizing there's a lot of angry people out there, and what we do is we give them a can of paint, and they can write whatever's on their mind all over the car, and then they proceed to just have a nice release and just smash the living daylights out of that car. You'd be amazed what people write. And some I can't repeat on this show. But I'll leave that to your imagination. But believe me, I think when you think you've seen everything, you haven't. And it's amazing what comes up on people's minds when they write that all over the cast.
What a unique idea. Ed, it's a hoot to talk to you, especially since you've got that strong Las Vegas accent.
That's right.
And I'm glad to hear that things are going well. If you're headed to Las Vegas, it's called Dig This. Check it out. We'll put a link on Travel Guys Radio online so that you can take a look at it. There's all kinds of pictures and descriptions, and it'll tell you all of the different things that you can do. Ed, we wish you well, my friend.
Hi, it's always a pleasure being on your show, guys. Thanks so much.
Imagine what a hero you would be if you were in Las Vegas with a six-year-old grandchild, and you took them out to Dig This and put them in one of those things. I mean, it would be something they would talk about grandpa or grandma about for the rest of their lives.
No, man.
Ed is such a fun guy. He makes it sound like fun.
He does.
No interest in doing something like that, but I would. You said you would go do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I spent a lot of time with my granddaughter, who's going to be three real soon, and I can just imagine her in between my knees with her hands on the controls. There's pictures. Go to travelguysradio.com, link to the Big Dig, and you'll see them. And that would be, she'd have the greatest time of her life. She'd want to go every day. So anyway, links to our special guests and so much more, always at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark, let's make our listeners a little bit smarter travelers as we try to today.
Yeah, Ned Levy joins us. Ned is part of the team at Travelers United and has been a guest with us before on the program. Ned writes some really great stuff for Travelers United on a regular basis, and I snared one of his articles this week. He talked a little bit about the Reauthorization Act, the FAA thing that we've talked about in this program before, where the government every few years has to go back and reauthorize the Federal Aviation Authority to do a variety of things. Some of them are safety related. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is a safety related item that has to do with the idea that an airplane can be evacuated in 90 seconds. And how that is going to happen. And Ned has some personal experience with this that I think might be of value to our listeners. Ned, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
You wrote this week about getting off an airplane and shared some of your personal experience. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about this 90-second concept.
I was in Pittsburgh. It was the dead of winter. It was at night. Very cold, snowy outside. Our plane was taking off, and it turned out the cockpit lost power. All their lights, they saw no instruments, so they shut it down and aborted the takeoff. We ended up at the edge of the runway with our nose gear just over the runway into the dirt, and immediately we were told to evacuate. The flight attendants opened up the doors. The emergency chutes went out. They were screaming at us to get out. And it was total chaos, complete panic on the part of many people. Kids were crying. They were trying to crawl up onto their parents. People were scared. People were also grabbing for their carry-ons, anything that they brought on the plane. They weren't evacuating. They were doing just about anything but. It finally got moving. People were aggressive. They were pushing other people down. People were knocked to the floor during this evacuation, and others had to help them back up so they could actually get out. One person was even injured going down the chute. She had grabbed her carry-on bag. It was really heavy. She had it against her chest. It turned her upside down, and her leg caught on the side of the chute, and she broke her leg.
Wow.
And she had to be helped by other passengers because we were out at the end of the runway. No rescue people were out there for a while. The FAA has a test for evacuation that every plane has to pass for certification. They have 90 seconds to clear the plane. It took us about 10 minutes to clear our plane, and there was no fire. There was no smoke.
We're talking with Ned Levy, talking about his experience on a plane that had to get evacuated. How about you personally, Ned? What was your personal experience? How did it go for you individually?
For me individually, I was sitting in first class, and I got out in a hurry. I was out within a minute. But I also know the rules. I've been a business traveler since the 60s. I've been on propeller planes, seaplanes, big jets, little jets, everything. I know what to do. I also saw there was no fire, and I got out. But I also saw the chaos behind me as I was waiting for the people in front of me to slide down. There's also hesitation people have jumping out onto the chutes. They don't know exactly what's going to happen to them.
That would be me. I would fit into that category. The reason we wanted you on the program today is because you went through this, and and you saw this all evolve, and so offer these may be obvious, but still offer a couple of suggestions that will make our listeners smarter travelers should they ever encounter a situation like this.
Well, the most important thing to do is forget about your carry-on. Forget about your personal item. Just leave it. Nobody's going to get into the plane or steal it. Just leave it, because it slows everybody down, especially when people are trying to grab items that are tucked under the seat in front of them. That means they're usually out in the aisle, bent down, on their hands and knees, and they're blocking everybody behind them. So you just got to leave the stuff. And the other thing is, don't push and shove. Because if everybody's just moving to the doors like they're supposed to be, it'll move quickly. Nobody will have to push and shove. Because if people get too aggressive like they were on my flight and knocking people down.
How do we convince the FAA that, I mean, these tests have been conducted. There are videos online that show people getting off of a full airplane in less than 90 seconds because they're all reasonably young, healthy people without disabilities and canes and things like that, and they're getting off the plane and nobody is taking their carry-on luggage and life is wonderful. What does it take? Does there have to be an accident or a situation where somebody gets seriously hurt or a lot of people get seriously hurt in order for this to resonate with folks? I mean, is that the only way we get out of this?
Well, I think that may be true for many passengers, but not the FAA. They now have a mandate from the new Reauthorization Act of 2024 to do a study into these evacuation tests to make them more like reality. The problem, though, with the reauthorization is the language is really unclear with, do they have to change the test based on the study? I think they do, but I'm not sure, because the language, and I've spoken to a couple attorneys about it, it's really unclear. But the thing that's absolutely missing and is crucial and must be fixed is the test eventually will be required for new planes. But it takes 20 to 30 years for a plane that's in service to go out of service and go to the junk pile. So for 2 to 3 decades, we're going to have planes that are not going to be retested, because the new law doesn't require planes that are already certified to be retested for evacuation.
Our special guest today, Ned Levy with Travelers United, talking about the FAA and testing to reevaluate how long it takes you to get off of a plane in an emergency. What is the real takeaway here? I would think it is that regardless of what they tell you that it should take you to get off of a plane in an emergency, just do the things that Ned spoke of, and Mark, you mentioned it too, and that is leave your stuff behind. Do the fire drill thing. Don't push and shove. Take your time and get off in a sane manner.
Well, and if you don't fly very often, or you're a first-time flyer, everybody gets on a plane for the first time once in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So those things that they're talking about the card in the seat back in front of you and pointing out where the emergency exits are. You might, just for the hell of it, want to pay attention to that once in a while. Because these people, I mean, different size, different types of aircraft have emergency exits in different places. You might be sitting in row 17 on one flight, and the closest emergency exit is right behind you, and on the next flight, it might be nine rows ahead of you. Ned, I think, is giving us a little more information because he witnessed it. Ned, thanks for giving us a few minutes of your time to talk about this.
My pleasure.
It's not something that's going to impact very many people, thank goodness, but if it just mm-hmm. if one person listening to this responded a little better in an emergency situation, then we've done our job. Keep up the good work at Travelers United. You guys have done more good things for travelers than most people will ever realize. All of the little rules and things, from canceling your airline ticket in 24 hours, lots of little things Travelers United has had a hand in. Keep your hand in the pot, because we need you there.
Thank you.
Well, you know, it's you think of something called muscle memory, yeah, that you do frequently enough so that when an emergency or something happens, your body kind of like automatically knows what to do. In this case, you need to have this muscle mental memory that you've studied, you paid attention to the flight attendants as they describe what you're going to do in case of an emergency, and that it can perhaps become second nature. Obviously, if you only fly once or twice a year, that's kind of hard to do. But still, you know, a lot of people just dial them out at the very beginning and don't pay any attention. As you can tell listening to Ned, to know what to do is critical. What are the one or two major takeaways?
Leave your crap on the plane. Forget about the overhead stuff. There ain't anything up there that's worth your life or the life of somebody else on the airplane. Forget about all that stuff. You heard him talk about the lady who went down the chute with her carry-on and broke her leg. I mean, come on. That's one reason I asked Ned to come on the program, was because he wrote this article where he talked about his personal experience, and I thought that would be of value. Also, the other thing was, interestingly enough, they are going to have to test the new planes but not the old planes. And as you cut down on the amount of legroom, just watch people get off an airplane sometime. You can't scooch out of one of those rows from the window seat in less than 5 or 6 or 7 seconds, and multiply that times 35 rows.
Something else to do. Learn how to lift the armrest up and out of the way. Not only on the center line, the center one, but on the one on the exit. If you've never done that, learn how to do that, because that'll be critical, even when you're just getting off the plane on a regular basis.
It's like Ned says, you know, you're until it happens to you, it's abstract, but someday it could happen to you. So that's the reason that we brought it up here, is just to make you a smarter traveler. Hey, next week, one of the things we're going to talk about is Airbnb hosts now are starting to turn down people. And the reasons that they're turning them down are kind of interesting. So we'll talk about that a little bit next week. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. See you next week, 11 a.m. for the Travel Guys.